Yes.
Let me just ask you that.
No, take your time. There's one more thing I wanted to also mention after this and give you one more piece so that you can tie it up to the Western culture also.
Yeah, I was thinking about the practice.
The practice, we split it up into two halves. In the morning, we will take a certain scale, a certain ragam, and we will sit and work on developing the ragam from the basics, building up all the... See, when we say we are playing a ragam, it is not just playing the solfa syllables or the scales up and down the string. There is a certain life that we have to breathe into every syllable. This piece that we just played was in ragam hamsadhwani, again set to an 8-beat cycle. But the uniqueness about this ragam hamsadhwani is that it is a pentatonic scale. It only has 5 syllables going up and 5 syllables coming down. The syllables are... sa ri ga pa ni sa, sa ni pa ga ri sa. Once again. Sa ri ga pa ni sa, sa ni pa ga ri sa. These are the 5 syllables of that ragam that we played, both the song and the melodic improvisation. So the structure behind the song, the structure behind the ragam is very restricted, that we cannot go out of the guideline of that scale. We have to do everything within that guideline. And sometimes we can improvise the ragam for 30 minutes. Sometimes we might just have to play it for a minute and a half or even 30 seconds. So you should be able to structure your mind. You should be able to get your mind to think in that manner, to be able to play based on the audience. If you are playing for a traditional Indian audience, if this was a song that we were playing in South India, this would be a very elaborate piece. This would be probably the 3rd piece of the concert where the audience look forward to listening to a very elaborate ragam. And in the ragam, there are key phrases that have to be introduced, that have to be put together. And the audience are expecting that. And if you don't give them that, they feel left out, they feel lost, they feel cheated, for a better or for a lack of a better word. And so when we play the ragam, so our morning practice session is always developing a ragam or developing the improvisational patterns of it. And we will take well over an hour and 45 minutes to 2 hours just playing that one single piece. Come evening, when we are all back from work and had dinner and everybody is now taken care of, the little one is tucked in bed and everything, then we will sit down and we will actually sit with the mridangam and the violin and the talam, and we will go, the talam of course being the rhythmic scale, and go through a whole 2 hour, 2.5 hour concert practice session. In which case we will be thinking like we are playing in front of an audience, we will practice like we are playing in front of an audience, and develop all the techniques, develop all the things. And through the process, there is a teaching, there is a learning, there is a give and a take. And of course, like I mentioned in the beginning, technology has advanced. The best thing that has ever come out in the in this century has been the iPod. And with the iPod, there are so many things that you're able to do and listen and actually put together. You can record your piece, you can upload it to an iPod and then listen to your mistakes or listen to your flaws and work on fixing it. So the practice technique has always been dual. It has been twofold. Practice in the morning with a single piece, you develop it, you build it, because your mind is so pure in the early hours of the morning. Our day begins anywhere at about 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the morning, and we start our practice by 5 o'clock till about 7 o'clock when we are getting ready to leave for school. In the evening, it starts at about, it varies. There are days when it starts at about 8:30 and we go until about 10:30. There are days when I don't have to teach and I will start at about 6 o'clock in the evening with her, and we will go on for about till about 10 o'clock. The piece that we just played, the opening piece, the ragam, the melodic structure was completely improvised. She took the scale and she developed the ragam inside that scale. The song called Vatapi Ganapatim Bajeham is a song that has been set to the beat cycle and is taught from teacher to student. Teacher will play it in one manner, the student will play it in a similar manner, just like the teacher, but as the student develops his or her ability, the student is able to develop new techniques, develop new bowing style, and develop new things to make it a little bit more melodic. Once the song was over, then we started the improvisation. You heard two parts of it, the slow part, where we built up the improvisation, that was the opening of the improvisation, and we took it to a crescendo where we wrapped it up. Now, that improvisation was probably about 6 minutes, maybe 8 minutes. In a real concert, we can improvise anywhere from about 20 to 30 minutes. And based on the audience, based on the participation we get from the audience, based on how much aura that we can draw from the audience, our music develops in that manner. Indian music has no fixed structure in the form that we do not pre-decide what pieces we are going to play on stage. Everything happens right there on stage. So the decision of the song that we are going to play would just depend on how the introduction of the artists were done or who is sitting in the audience. If we recognize the face of somebody that enjoys our music will have a different flair to it. Our music will take a different life form altogether.
So the audience is very important.
Very, very important. Without the audience, Indian music means nothing. If you go listen to a South Indian music concert, besides the fact that it is meditative, you will very much see the audience participating in keeping the beats, in keeping, and if there is a musician in the audience, we will look at that musician and we will invite him to come and sit in the front so that he can participate in the music and actually give us the beat cycle. Once the beat cycle is there for us to observe, at this point we are keeping the beats in our head, we are following through, we are actually doing the calculation mentally, and there is a certain eye contact that we make to give indication where we are in the beat cycle. But in a live concert, we might have a drummer who will be sitting on stage with us and putting the beats, or we might have the tambura artist keeping beat cycle for us, or we might have an artist sitting in the audience who has just come to listen to us, and we will invite him to come in front and actually put the thalam or the beat cycle for us.
That's cool. Very nice. you wanted to do one more piece?
Yes, we are going to do one more piece. And the reason for this piece is it is a piece called The English Note. And it is set to a 3-beat waltz cycle. And we are basically going to play that to show how the music also blends with a different culture, blends with a different style, and how music has its own language and it is very easily adaptable to different things. The piece is called The English Note. It's set to a 3-beat waltz cycle. What I have here is a stick and stone, and basically I'm using it to tune my drum because of the change in temperature within the room. The drum has gone a little bit high in tonic, and I'm trying to adjust it. So I use a normal a one-inch circular, one-inch diameter stick, a circular cylindrical stick and a stone and a regular round stone to tune the drum. When I hit the drum from the bottom, it brings the pitch down. When I tap the drum from the top, it raises the pitch. So when you hear the sound, you will actually know that I'm tuning the drum. Thank you. Yes, this is there on the CD too. It's the last one of the CD.
Yeah.